And I hope this is something. They do say, don't they, that the old what do they say? What do they say? You get to a certain age, you can't remember what they say. The old things are the best, or the old ones are the funniest, or something like that. Anyway, let's try it out, because I'm sure you've all heard this one before. New curate, very hip, trendy, goes to a very proper parish where things are done properly, and it's really quite serious. And so after a few weeks settling into the Sunday routine, he's invited down to the kids' work downstairs, and boy, is it like a school. The kids are sitting in serried ranks, and he thinks, wow, going to have to lighten this up, so quick, easy question, get the kids talking. So he says to them, children, can anybody tell me what is small, has loads of grey fur, big bushy tail, and eats nuts? Absolute silence. Absolute silence. So he has another go. He says, come on, and the Sunday school teacher's getting a bit embarrassed. Come on, children, surely some of you know that. Finally, little eight-year-old boy puts his hand up rather timidly at the back, and the curate says, yes. And the boy says, well, please, sir, I know the answer must be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. So, okay, a little bit of word association. Now, hopefully everybody can do this. Doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus or not. Most of you will have heard Jesus, unless you've been orbiting planet Zarg for the last few decades. But everybody's heard of Jesus. And if I say word association, just turn to the person next to you. It's only going to take you 20 seconds. What's the word that comes into your mind? And then we'll collect a few, and I'm going to write them up. So no pressure. Don't want to do it? That's fine. Just turn to somebody in your own time. Start now. Okay, you've all finished, unless it's a very, very long word indeed, which it could be. So does anybody want to just call out a word? Actually, Ruth, are you happy to write up for me? Fantastic. The big fat black pen at the bottom is going to be the best one. Fantastic. So let's just have a few. Word association, when I said Jesus, what do you think of?
Savior.
Savior, thank you. That's two. Sorry? God. Love. Sorry? Rescue. Thank you. Peace. Truth. Love. Excellent. Any more? Grace. Thank you. Sorry? Oh, Els, you're here. Els, stand up. This is Els, who's going to give the concert. I didn't realize you were here. Fantastic. Totally unplanned. Right. Any more? Sorry? Friend. Compassion. Wonderful. This is great. All these things on the board are things that we believe to be true about God. Our discipleship is a journey and a discipline that exists in the distance between what we know and believe to be true about God and the things that make us doubt it. That's where Christian character is forged. That's the journey of discipleship. That's where we're tested, in the distance between what we believe about God and what life suggests, when we're tested to doubt that that isn't the case. And there can be all sorts of things in life that make us doubt, of course. And sometimes even passages of the Bible challenge what we think we know. And over the summer here at the 10, we are using the same readings that we use at the 8, which is a quieter service that we have here every Sunday. And there we follow what's called the Revised Common Lectionary. It's a 3-year cycle that takes you right the way through the Bible. And one of the great things about using the lectionary is that you can't choose your favorite bits. You can't miss out the difficult bits. And so this morning I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 7. And the first part of the reading is going to be up on the screens. And this is verses 24 to 27. Jesus on the move. So we read that Jesus left that place. You'll have to go back to verse 23, obviously, to see where that place was. And went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. So if you were just reading that, if all we had as a record of Jesus was those words and this incident in his life, how many of us would come up with the words that are here? I mean, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? In Matthew's version, only Matthew and Mark record this incident. Matthew just tells us that the woman was a Canaanite. Matthew tells us that initially Jesus didn't even respond to her. Then the disciples got fed up because she kept on nagging them. And so finally Jesus, and he said, well, my mission is only to Israel. So he's doing that whole racial thing. And then basically he calls her a dog. I mean, if that's all that we had as our understanding of Jesus, what would we make of it? How could we possibly come up with these words? And when we do read something like that, does it challenge the way that we think? Because actually, our faith begins to crumble if there is credibility in that as opposed to that. We can't simply look back and say, well, Jesus was just having a bad day. You know, he went to this place, he went into the house, he obviously wanted some time on his own. This happens to Jesus a lot. And he's interrupted. Maybe he just had a bad day, but how can Jesus have a bad day? Because if Jesus had a bad day then, could he not have a bad day today? Could he have a bad day when I really need him? So it's a challenge. Of course, the thing that we're not given when we read scripture is anything other than the words themselves. We don't get given the tone with which Jesus spoke. We don't get a facial expression. And I'm going to illustrate how things' meaning can change if my seven wonderful volunteers can make their way forward and line up in order, which will be quite important. We're going to have a phrase on the screen, very simple phrase, seven words. Hope you can all read that. I never said she stole my money. And we're just going to see how things change. I haven't got seven now. I'm getting a bit worried. Some of the children have disappeared. Ah, Megan, Adam, fantastic. They're hiding. Zoe, come forward. Wonderful. So stand in order. Anthea's number one. No, that's fine. And so we're simply going to ask them to read. You all in right number order? As long as you read it in the right order, that's fine. So just pass the microphone along.
I never said she stole my money.
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 So the way that things are spoken affect the meaning. Now, obviously, I can't prove this from the text that we've just read, but I do know that there can be no challenge to the truth I believe about Jesus. He is those things. He continually displays those things. He never has an off day. He is always kind. He's always merciful. We can take the words off the screen now. Thanks, Chris. That's great. And I believe there is something in the tone that Jesus uses, something perhaps in his facial expression that encourages the woman, that doesn't drive her away, that doesn't leave her feeling rejected. Certainly there's a test in his words. He wants to know whether she's going to return again. And so let's read on and conclude the reading today. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. What do we know about this woman from the text? I just want you to call out the things that we know. In fact, I can leave them on the same page. And your Yorkshire mother, yep. Will only be a few. So what do we know about her? She's a mother. She's anxious. So, okay, mother, anxious. She's anxious because she has a sick daughter. Okay. What else do we know about her that the text specifically tells us? She's not Jewish. So we know something about her we know she's from somewhere else. Yeah, Derek? Foreign. Yeah, we got that. And she's a woman. Okay. Thank you. That is bringing me into land. I could have paid you for that one. Faith is the last one. Okay, so these are the things we know about her. She's a mother. She's anxious. She's not Jewish. She's female. Those things are all obvious. They're told us in the text. They're things she would have said about herself if asked. Why is she in the Bible? Because of her faith. That's the reason she's in the Bible. She's not there because she's a woman, nor is she excluded because she's a woman. She's not there because she doesn't fit, because she's an outsider, although that is also true. She's not in the Bible just because she's got a sick daughter. She's primarily in the Bible because she is a woman of faith. And of those five descriptors that we have of the woman, only one is not her own, but it's spoken over her by Jesus. The first point of my talk was earlier about discipleship existing and growing and being tested in the fire, as it were, between what we know to be true about God and what, whatever it is, tempts us to believe it isn't. Does that make sense? That's where Christian character is forged. When life's going fine, we maybe find it easy to believe those things. But what about when life's tough? That's the first thing. The second and closing point is simply this. Only Jesus has the last word. Cancer does not have the last word. Poor exam results do not speak the final word. When I was 18, I was turned down by Jesus, College, Cambridge. And I always think there's something quite funny about a vicar being rejected by Jesus at 18. But actually, that did not define me. Sure, it was a disappointment, but it didn't define me. It wasn't the last word. A terrorist's bomb, bullet, knife, or van cannot speak the final word over your life. The things other people say about you cannot speak the final word on your life. And here's the rub. Even you don't have the last word on your life. There is one and one alone who has that, and that's Jesus. And part of our discipleship journey is allowing Jesus, allowing his spirit from scripture to speak words of truth over us. I imagine if I'd started by saying, right, all those of great faith stand up. I imagine not many, well, I don't know, not everybody would have stood up. That woman might never have thought of herself as a woman of faith. She had so many other ways to define herself. She clearly knew she was an outsider. And yet Jesus spoke the final word. So I just want to encourage you to allow Jesus to do that for you. There are so many words in Scripture spoken about those who follow him. Feed on those. Because just as much as those words are true of him, his words over you are not just true of you, but they are and will one day be the final word. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, there is so much in life that challenges us. We've all known times when it feels easier to believe the doubts in our heads than the truth in your word. Sometimes even tough passages in the Bible can cause us concern. Strengthen our Christian character in the gap between the two. Father, there are so many situations, circumstances, and people, even the nagging little voices inside our heads that want to speak the final word about who we are and what our value is, what our place is, whether we're really worthy or welcome. Lord Jesus, will you by your Spirit remind us of what your word says about us? That because of what you did on the cross, we are holy, we are loved, we are safe, we are rescued. Lord Jesus, give us the humility to allow you to speak the final word over us. In your name we pray. Amen. As Ruthie prepares to lead us into communion, the band are going to lead us in singing Faithful One. So let's stand to sing together.